Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun! And see you later.
Hello and welcome to Epilogue 3 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
The final Ben Meredith.
Brid Monroe.
The last Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould, sadly.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
For the very final time. Hamidsala Harun Al Tahan.
Cell Side Bottom.
And Azu. You're gonna make me so emotional.
I'm sorry,
Brit.
I'm really feeling
Bring
it.
Bring your game, stop it!
So we're here at the end of things for us, at least, and with that in mind, we are going to be rejoining our story world 20 years after the change. So this is 10 years on from our last catch-in, and so that's quite a long time. That is, bearing in mind that these are a party of people, some of whom only knew each other for weeks. And we are 20 years along the way, and it is, it's feeling heavy. There's an energy in the room which is matching characters, I think. Is everyone ready for it for a final epilogue?
Yeah. Mm. You can't do this to me. I just finished Mass Effect 3 for the second time last night. Now I've got another ending.
Truly, this is our Mass Effect.
Yeah, yeah.
You also can't pause the cutscenes here, so strap in. So I am going to do what I've done before, which is I like those big macro zoom-ins. This time, we are zooming in on Dartmouth in the UK. And Alex is going to quietly, in a nice measured voice, advertise he doesn't know which coast Dartmouth's actually on.
The south one. It's in Devon.
So as we zoom in on the UK and the southwest coast towards Dartmouth, homing in even more to a quayside, there is a pub. A pub, I believe, is called The Hope and Heart.
It is indeed.
Aww.
Would you care to describe this pub for me, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, it is nothing particularly special for the sort of location. It looks like a nice local pub. You know, you've got that sort of, whether faked or real, sort of Wattle and Daub look, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's an old settlement, so it might even be genuinely whatever the version of Tudor is in this thing, because the Tudors probably didn't, I don't know.
It's the Tud of Hunter.
The Dragon Tudors, Henry the Dragon. you know, mullioned windows, two stories, the actual area itself. So it's like a small sort of restaurant / pub. So there's a few tables in booths. There's some stools around the bar. It's all very like dark wood and sort of like soft, you know, red sort of but hardy, you know, seating. But yeah, I mean, if you're English, it's like a classic pub. If you are not British, it's more like, you know, a Christmas film that's set in the UK. Well, it's the type of place that Richard Curtis would send some characters.
Understood. Yeah. Right.
It's not snowing.
It's not snowing.
By the sea, don't be ridiculous.
I would say it is chilly. I'd say it is a winter's day, but not actively snowing.
Oh, sorry, and also, very important for a pub, the sign outside, the emblem is like is a flaming heart.
That's very rock and roll.
Yeah, and it's got an arrow and it says mom through it.
So I am going to make a bit of a sort of cinematic pass here and say that Cell is coming up to the front door, and for the other players is the last person to arrive and is taking a moment outside the front door before entering. And that is where I'll pick up, I think.
Yeah. Cell will kind of breathe in deeply, wrap their coat around themselves, weirdly, as they're going inside, but it's kind of more of a protection kind of against emotions, maybe, than the cold, and goes inside.
I'm assuming still wearing the same coat and etc.
If, like, I think it's the sort of thing where Cell will be well enough off and have access to enough resources that there is no point being, like, deliberately raggedy. If the coat has needed replacing over the years, the coat has been replaced. But they use that style because it works, because it means that they've got all the stuff that they need, and like it helps in rain, in when it keeps you from being too hot or too cold. It's practical.
I'd say when you open the door, you're hit by like a wall of heat because the fire is blazing in the hearth.
Zulf likes it hot.
Is bloody Greg here? What?
Oh my god, what if Greg's here?
Yeah, what happened to Greg? Cool.
I know.
Oh god.
Oh great.
I wrote up every single extant character, that's why the prep took ages.
You're going to have a big list of episodes where you're just like, and this is what happened to every NPC.
Anywho, Cell enters the pub. I need to ask you, Ben, since Zulf is a proprietor, is this currently open to the public or not?
No, at the moment, this is closed for a private event tonight.
In which case, I would suggest that as Cell enters, probably into like a little sort of faux hallway, given the way these sort of restaurant pubs tend to work, from there you probably overhear the conversation between Azu and Hamid in a room immediately off the entrance hall.
Hamid is stoking the fire to make sure Azu doesn't feel cold.
Thank you. Azu is sitting there. There is a stick at her side that is ostensibly a walking stick, but could definitely be used to hit someone if she needed to, still.
Heavy handle.
Has the axe finally been laid aside?
The axe is no longer there, no. And she has a pair of glasses on as well.
Ooh.
I know. Her hair is now grey and she's got it done in cornrows.
Nice.
Yeah. Hard to, like, comb it for a long period of time these days.
Sure.
I can't believe you've got a grandchild already.
Yes, well...
Seems so quick.
Well, Etchy has always been a little advanced for his... Well, actually, do you know, Etchy is how old now that I was when I met you?
Oh, of course, yeah, it would have been. So strange to think about it like that. Oh, Sel, you're here.
Yes.
Come on in.
Sel.
Hello.
Oh, it's so nice to see you.
It's been a long...
Long time.
Yeah.
A very long time.
Can I take your coat, or...?
Yeah, it's warm enough here to... I'm not even sure I need my waistcoat either.
That's the idea. Zolf's still in the kitchen, but I'm sure he'll pop his head in just a second.
Is that Sel?
Oh, yeah.
Right, great. Food's, like, getting there. Oscar, go talk to bloody Sel. Stop harassing me.
I'm helping.
You are not helping. You have.
I am helping.
Yeah, fine. Well, all right. You
put too much salt in.
I will put it... Get out there.
Oscar steps outside and is now into the room as well. I'd say Oscar's now showing his age as well properly.
Mm.
At this point, there's a definite cane as well for Oscar, and he's still dressed quite sort of flamboyantly, but it feels a little bit more like proprietor. It's sort of well to do as opposed to willfully ostentatious.
Yeah.
But it still draws the eye a little bit, and he's there. His hair's a little bit longer than he's normally been wearing it, and he's sort of coming over going, "Oh, hello." I can't believe everyone made it.
Yeah. It's
well, I wouldn't miss this.
Well, you might want to if he keeps adding salt. I keep telling him he's too much salt, but he keeps adding it, and I don't know why. Was the journey okay, Sel?
Yeah, it was. I actually came on a smaller boat from the fleet is still off southern Spain, so I'll be rejoining them maybe in a while, but. Yeah.
Glad to hear you stepping away for a little bit. Even just for a few days, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's I don't know how.
Oh, what am I doing? I'm a terrible host here. We should all sit. It's going to be a while.
I'll help you with the drinks, Oscar.
Yeah, he just about knows how to pull a pint.
Pull a pint on your head, yeah, I'd say Oscar grabs some drinks and then sits down. Wingtip chairs around the fireplace with maybe a small coffee table in between them.
Also, just very quickly, oh, god damn, I missed the pub.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say Wild at that point settles in, and there is space for all five, but at this stage, obviously, there's a chair empty for Zolf. Sorry.
I know it was a while ago, Sel, but... Would it be okay to ask, how was the funeral?
Well, it was what he would have wanted. It was a beautiful seaside town. It wasn't one we knew well, it was just, you know, near where it happened. And it was, you know, Zolf actually made it out.
Yes, he mentioned he got there. I'm glad
one of us could. Yes. Yeah.
I know it's half the way around the world for you two. But no, we were just up. As you know, it's just
Yes, I'm so sorry, of course.
Just off Iceland, but there there were a few places around there that where there was a lot of disagreement around how things should be rebuilt post magic. They'd had a lot of magical artifice there, and so, you know, it was over very quickly, but he of course wouldn't let anyone else get hurt, even though I know.
He was a good man.
A very good
man. We had 20 years. It was good.
May I? Hammond raises glass.
Mm.
To James.
Wait.
And I'll wheel out and quickly pour myself a shot of rum.
Sorry, Zolf. Didn't mean to.
Yeah. No, it's all right, but yeah, no.
Yeah.
To James.
To James.
To James.
But it's wonderful to see that you're all here and you all look so well. And Azu, you came so far. It's just so lovely to see you.
As I said, I would not miss the chance to see you all again.
Yeah, it's so glad you're able to make it.
So, update me.
It has been a while.
I've been so taken up with, the children, and I have a new nursery at the clinic, and
Oh, lovely.
I know. It's nice to have lots of children around all the time now that mine have, left the nest.
I must find an excuse to visit again. I know it's been, seven, eight? Oh my God, it's been 8 years. Life gets so busy.
It does. Chinua's moved in with Amir and I now.
Oh, lovely. That's so nice.
Yes, he's getting on. And, Emeka died and, I wasn't...
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It was his time, but I didn't want to lose Chinua in the same way.
Of course.
So, he's with us now.
That's really good to hear.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, yes, Zolf and I have some pretty exciting news to share, but I think he probably wants to be here too, and he's still got things in the oven.
Well, I'm almost done.
Well, Wild, you tell me what it's like to be a proprietor of a successful tavern.
You know what? It's okay. I mean, I'm trying to think. It's been that long, so I did do a bit more writing, but I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of getting into the domestic groove a little bit. It has a certain appeal there.
It does, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, we get a lot of complaints about the food.
Don't let him fool you. I've been staying here for a couple of weeks, and the food is absolutely magnificent.
Oscar, really?
Well, let me just say that honestly, it's nice. It's been it was nice to get out into the public eye for a little bit and sort of toy around. But I'll be honest, it's been really nice to slow down a bit and it's nice, but we don't tend to get the rushes here. So yeah, I dare say I'm becoming quite boring.
You could never be that.
No.
I think at this point, Zolf wheels out with a sort of special tray set up sort of on his wheelchair with how many of this are there? Five?
Yes, five including Zolf.
Yeah, with five plates. And just says, can't cook, can't properly pull a pint. Lucky he's so charming.
Well, one of us has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. You're front of house-ish. And I'll, start dishing out.
I must admit, it does make my life easier when the only people here are us lot, though. It basically means I'm a gentleman of leisure temporarily. It's quite nice.
Well, makes a change.
But anyway, Ahmed, you were...
tell him.
You were sort of alluding.
Well, yes, yeah, so... I mean, about my work. I mean, the various... publications I've made about different perspectives on history. I don't know how much any of you follow, probably not very much anyway, but in my field it's a bit weird being both someone who works in it but also is quite notorious for their involvement in events. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of conflicting stories and rumours, and I just felt it would be really important to find a way to share our story. And I've been talking about this with Zolf, and I know I mentioned it to you at one point, Azu, I've been planning to write a book, and then Zolf and Oscar suggested that perhaps we work together on it, and we've started, and it's been going really well. So, basically, yes,
You say started. You've been squirreling away.
We've got a lot of chapters already. Yes, we're writing the book about everything that happened to us and to the people we travelled with, and everything that led to, you know, the final events and the change. And well, we'd love to you both to contribute as well, much or as little as you feel able to, whether it's just, you know, reading and offering suggestions, or even helping write bits and pieces here and there. That's our big project, and well, it's very exciting, and I think it's going to be really, really valuable as a piece of historical text.
Or not, of course, but, you know, we got through Prague, right? So, you know, obviously, and it's, you know, obviously the bits I weren't around for, so it seems, you know, would be ridiculous.
No pressure, hopefully. And if either of you feel very uncomfortable with this being published, then we wouldn't. We wouldn't want to go against you for that. But, I mean, well, what do you think?
I think that is a wonderful idea. Someone ought to record the truth as it happened. And as I recall, many of our problems came from not having enough knowledge. So contributing to it for the future.
Oh, yes, and it's we're doing our very best we're doing our absolute best not to, you know, romanticise any of it, or we're doing our best to be honest, and, you know, we've put in plenty about our own mistakes along the way.
Oh, have we?
It's important to get as close to the truth as our perspectives allow us to be. It's, you know, part of the historical record.
Yeah.
It is indeed. I would be honoured to contribute.
I would be happy to offer accurate schematics of the submarine.
Oh my, yes, that would be really valuable.
There's a lot of mistakes in that, let me tell you. I mean, it was perfectly safe for everyone inside, but, you know, lots of things that, looking back, I might have changed.
It got us across.
It did.
And we've been thinking about having an illustrated version, so those, like, the blueprints and stuff would really be
oh,
great.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we can include, I think somewhere somebody's still got Showin's drawings. Oh, and well, of course, and I can help fill in with the time gap. Not for you, Sel, but, you know, Azu and Amid, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. What I was up to with Oscar, James and Howard.
I mean, I think it's going to end up being several volumes, to be honest. There's so much to say.
Well, the other thing is, we went back to Rome, remember? And we went into that cistern, and, you know, obviously we can't be entirely sure, but we did find sort of the only goblin in Rome down there.
Oh.
And, like, obviously, it's at that point, it's veering a little bit more into historical fiction, but we'd like Sasha's writings and the stuff we've been able to find. I think we can maybe give a decent reconstruction of what happened to them.
But, wait, did you bury him properly somewhere?
Oh, yes, of course. After we'd recovered what we could and pieced together what we could, we consulted with the Artemisians and did our best to abide by their suggestions. We couldn't let him just lie there. But
no,
with what Cicero said and what we were able to piece together, you know, I think we can probably fill in at least a little bit of that part of the story too.
Amazing. That's,
yes.
I'm so glad you're both okay with that. That's a real weight off my mind. As I said, as much or as little as you want to contribute, but we definitely get you to have a look over it before it gets anywhere close to publication.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I can add to things because, you know, you were there while I was there and you saw the same stuff. I can definitely give details about how the bombs were constructed. I mean, and other details like that you might not be aware of.
I mean, also, if you want to provide any, like, context about you and Jasper sort of before we turned up, because this is the other thing as well.
Absolutely.
It's important that it's not just us, right? Like, it's not just the you know, when we were grouped, it doesn't mean the story's end. Likewise, Azu, if you want to do anything about, you know, time at the Church of Aphrodite, provide more context, right? Because, like, some of that stuff is, I mean, it's fading out of a lot of people's living memory.
And frankly, the project could do with someone with a good eye for proofing, because these two are... It's a mess in there.
How bloody dare you?
I will have you know that my publications tend to get extremely good reviews, Oscar.
I'm sure your publications do, Hamid.
Yeah, look, all right, you both got good reviews, OK?
Do you know, I think that Erin may have an eye for detail. I may... I may write up, perhaps, some things that I remember and recall and get him to look at them. And then maybe I can send them on to you.
Oh, of course. I think that would be a very valuable contribution. That would be lovely. You still see Aaron then?
Well, he's still in Cairo, so of course.
Oh, that's so nice to hear.
Still as into himself as he always was, and that's coming from me.
Oh, yes, he's not stepping down anytime soon.
There's no justice, is there?
Obviously, I got out that game, you know, pretty sharpish, but, like, how is all of that going? I ain't talked to anyone, really. You know, I've not really been concerned about it, but, you know, sort of Aphrodite, Artemis, all that lot. And how's it? I don't know.
Well, the thing is, we know they were there. We know they were real. And so it was very much a choice for each person to decide whether they would continue in their beliefs. And I, of course, did.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. Sorry, no, I'm not like... Yeah, no. I was just interested, like, how, you know, obviously I had enough of a bust-up when they were real.
Oh. Yes, well... You were a little notorious for bust-ups, Zulf.
I couldn't possibly comment. And you definitely...
It's one of your finer qualities.
Yeah, all right. Actually, one thing... I'll be right back. You carry on. Sorry, And I will wheel off to sort of my apartment, which is at the back of the ground floor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, while Zulf's not here, I... have a sort of present for everyone. Bear with me. Wild goes to the mantle, then pulls down a quite posh-looking box. Obviously, it's been a while since Einstein passed, but this is the first time we've all been here together. And it was in his will. And well, I thought you'd appreciate it. He opens the chest and then shows the clockwork figures for every single one of the party. The finished versions where they're painted, and he's got the kinks worked out and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, no, unfortunately, the last three never sort of got further than this. But, I thought it might be something you'd get a bit of a kick out of.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The wild one does sparks.
Oh. I think, like, Cell's going to grab their one and actually tear up a bit. It's just so beautiful to know that he spent so much time and care and, you know, it's got a little bang with the...
Oh, yeah, don't
press that, it doesn't...
Don't put it too close to your face.
It says bang, and that's amazing. It's got a... Oh, and I think if I wind this up, it resets. Cell is enraptured.
Azu holds hers very carefully, and she's like, I think I will keep this one. Kiko can keep the other.
That seems very fair.
Yeah, the old boy did a decent job.
Another good person of our acquaintance.
And you know what? On that slightly somber note, I think I'll take a break there.
Slightly somber?
No.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. And I think we'll skip to after the meal because I've made it 200 and something episodes without eating down a microphone. And I don't want to start now. That was one of the few bars that we've consistently met, and I'd like to sustain that if we can. Mm.
So I do remember like my first few recordings. I brought Haribo in.
Between takes is completely different.
In the first couple of episodes, like Alex told us, like. In the first few episodes and first few recordings, there were beers, right? Mm. Alex told us it was going to be a relaxed thing, you know?
Yeah.
It was such a bait and switch.
I remember us, like, threatening to go to the pub halfway through a recording day at points, you know?
It'll only run for a couple of months anyway, so what difference does it make?
Anyway, that's enough out-of-character nostalgia. Time for in-character nostalgia.
Yay! Hell yeah!
But yeah, I think like after the aperitifs have been served, that's right? Aperitifs come after the meal. Yeah, that true?
No.
I don't know.
No,
I'm not fancy. Aperitif means before, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Right, they're your amusing booshes.
Yeah.
What's the... All right,
that boosh needs amusing.
Digestif. True.
Digestif.
You want a digestif.
After the digestif. Yeah, Zolf will suddenly be like, oh, I forgot about the thing. There's like a shelf under his wheelchair. He pulls it out, and he's got like what is obviously a homemade manuscript, and hands it to Azu and says, "Well, I've been keeping busy. I've done let's call them unofficial sequels to Harrison Campbell."
Oh, have you?
And
interesting.
Let me tell you, these are not for public consumption. They get pretty raunchy, so. But I thought maybe as a fellow appreciator you'd like them. So
there's apparently a small community of fiction written by the fans of Harrison Campbell's works.
Yeah, well, none
are
of them are as good as
really.
They're good, and I'm glad I'm glad they dabble. But quite honestly, no.
It's like it's a different sort of archive than the one that Hamid spends all his time in, and it's an archive of their own. Really.
Well, I do keep my own archive. Yeah.
You keep your own.
So this is from my own archive.
From your own archive.
Yeah.
I keep telling you need to introduce some kind of tagging system, otherwise you're going to trip over yourself.
Oh, it's just for me, you know? These are not for public consumption. Very much not for public consumption.
That is very true. We left one of them out once and we lost a guest to it.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it didn't kill them.
But they... In a lot of ways, they were more alive than they'd been in a long time. Right. Red in the face. You know.
I see. Right, yes, no.
Really broadened their horizons, I think, actually.
Mm.
I'm very impressed, Mr. Smith.
Honestly, this wasn't to impress you. I just thought you might enjoy it.
I'm sure I will.
It was a little bit to impress you, I think.
I'm proud of it, but, you know, it's not. It's just I thought.
Mm. Yeah. It's all right. It's quite good.
Oh, thank you.
Azu's going to open it to a random page.
and immediately blush.
Yeah. And how does Azu react to that random page?
Heart attack!
Oh, no!
Oh, God!
Oh, no!
What did you do?
No. I think Azu would simply raise her eyebrows, close it again, and look at you over the top of her glasses.
I will give you a wink.
Mm. She'll nod, like, it's what Campbell would have wanted.
I think so.
So, well, where are you thinking of heading next with the Venger fleet? So,
well, I'm actually thinking of not heading anywhere with the Venger fleet. But it's just that I realize a lot of the problems now are they're not an immediate, urgent thing that needs fixing. It's much more... There's a lot of politics, and I was never good at politics.
Yes, there's definitely a lot of politics happening.
You know, and Carter was good, and Barnes was pretty good, and I... I have been thinking about who should be in charge. And frankly, you know, Sasra's been there from the beginning, and Skrok comes by quite a bit and has been advising and helped us in a few tricky situations. And I think that maybe they'll know best how to hand it on, connect it up with the...
Oh, yeah. I mean,
universities and
there's always people to take up the work after oneself.
Mm.
If it's time for you to find your next step, that's...
It's just difficult, you know, like being there when I know that, you know, I know that he's not, and that...
Of course, yeah.
That often... There might just be other problems in other places, you know, things that need fixing.
That is often the case, I find.
Yeah.
Hey, what if perhaps you went into teaching? I think you would be very good at it.
Yeah, we've been setting up training wherever we...
Yeah,
build something.
You founded a few different Wenger universities, as I recall.
Yeah, maybe that's the... Maybe I should settle down and, you know, it's the...
I found it so rewarding to work at that kind of place at the time. I do quite a lot of teaching, as well as... Well, I put on a lot of conferences. Actually, I was... Yeah, I the most recent conference I organised ended up being in Beijing, and actually Howard and Skrark came and presented on their most recent findings. But I was having a chat with the two of them afterwards, and they were talking about that exact same difficulty of, you know, navigating these political situations and finding a way to make sure everyone is fully informed and happy, and it very tricky. But they've got a lot of experience. They've done a lot of travelling, and I'm sure they'd be happy to rejoin the Wenger fleet temporarily at the very least, and offer some of that expertise.
I know Earhart's been doing a lot of work now with all of the air travel picking up, and that has to negotiate a bunch of similar situations. I could ask and see if you can get some help there.
I mean, yeah, maybe it's an interesting next project. Is the, you know, we've had the Wenger boat and the Wenger fleet, and now maybe it's time to the Wengerversity, somewhere where we think about problems and the way that they sit in the world and the different bits. And I can teach the mechanical bits, but I've got a lot to learn still about the how you make sure people are genuinely listening and on board and what's the best way to work on making them.
A lot of regions are pretty stable these days, have sorted out their systems of government, and it hopefully we can move into a direction of international cooperation. I think that's certainly an active area of research.
The International Wengerversity. Mm.
But also, Sel, you know, just an offer, but stay with us for a bit. Have an holiday. You know, we've got rooms. You can obviously stay for free, and it's a nice part of the world, you know. You've got coast walks, you can go up to the moors, the darts, lovely. Just...
It's okay to hand over the reins.
Yeah, I mean, I should admit that in practice it's Sasra and their team that's running most of it now. It's hard, you know, not to be there and be involved and feel that you're taking responsibility, but I think they're ready. They've been ready for a long time.
And I got to say, from personal experience, slowing down a bit, taking a bit more time for yourself. You know, I've got my bad days, of course I do, but it's really helped.
Mm. Besides, someone's got to help us with our boiler. It's a mess, and frankly, I think you're the only person I've got left who I can turn to. It's so complicated. Yeah, you'd be a real help.
I know arcane magic has left, but something about that ain't right, I think. You know,
it's not of this plane. I'm not sure who built it, but they didn't belong on the material plane.
I love that the only time that Oscar and Zolf align is when they've both found the same thing to complain about.
It's a really nice dynamic.
You know, yeah, I could send a message back, and you know, I think maybe staying around for a while would be good.
Stay as long as you want.
Yeah, you could always go back if you want to, yeah. But you might find you don't want to.
I mean, Azu, same. Obviously, Ahmed can't get rid of him. He's always around. But Azu, same for you. Like, I know obviously you're going to want to go back, see your family and the clinic and everything, but, you know, it's a lot of travel in quite a short period of time. And, you know, if you want to stick about for a bit, you're obviously more than welcome.
I shall consider it.
Hey, no pressure, but, you know. It's nice to...
I know.
It's nice to have everyone back for a bit.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Besides, am I the only one who's starting to feel like I'm getting in the way of the up-and-comers at this point?
Well, I certainly stepped aside a while back.
Yeah, we're just a... Look at us, a bunch of old farts, eh?
Hey,
do
hey,
you
hey,
know?
Yeah.
It is nice to watch others doing the work sometimes.
Yeah.
Look, my role for a long time has never been to produce my own ideas. It was never my strength. But what I do is I find other people. I find people with better perspectives than mine. I find people with better ideas than mine. I find people who might not otherwise be recognised.
Yeah, well, you know,
and you know, that's my calling, and that's where I found my joy is helping. And you know, it's look, bloody useful to have the kind of notoriety that I do, and people listen to me. And really, what I, you know, the best way to use that is to, like you say, elevate the voices of those that are coming next. And you know, it would be so easy to sink back into a system where the kobolds or the ursins or the goblins, you know, are not being seen and not being heard by people. And we have the ability to make sure that everyone, because of the unique position we're in, to make sure that everyone keeps being heard. And that is valuable work too. And it's not about getting out of the way. It's about lifting others up.
Yeah. Well, you know, transitioning the foundation to more of a sort of a committee model has been really good. Like, running it as a one-man band, you know, worked for a bit, but I think ultimately it was a mistake. Obviously, I could, you know, I did stuff for my experience, but they've taken it on, they've changed it, and it's a lot better for it.
It is good to listen and learn to others, especially when you feel... that perhaps there are things you are missing. Things are moving on very quickly these days.
Yeah,
lots still changing. Did I tell you, I managed to convince Syra to switch the model of the bank, so it's now, well, technically it's known as a mutual fund, but it's got a whole different model. There's like, I mean, you know, there's so many ways to organise things for the benefit of lots of people rather than hoarding that wealth. And, you know, really, if we can find ways to redistribute it and support as many people as possible collectively, it leads to better outcomes.
I rather think that if perhaps I was meeting you now, I would try to induct you into the Temple of Aphrodite.
Yeah, you've really changed your blooming tune from when we met you, playboy.
And your clothes.
I mean, you're not wrong. I had a lot of learning to do, and hopefully I've done a lot of it. But there's always more to learn, always different voices to be heard.
That is true.
They mock me, you know. They call me a champagne socialist because of my upbringing. And, well, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing to have a taste for finer things just occasionally.
You do like champagne.
I love champagne, yeah. But...
And you do like socialising.
Well, that remains true, but actually socialism is the name they've given to the form of government proposed by that friend of mine, Marx.
Right.
Yeah, and well, I mean...
I thought he was more about communes than socials.
I mean, I'm hoping for a world where everyone has access to the same champagne I do. Is there really a contradiction in that?
Yeah. There's a lot to think about, and yeah, I think sticking around and maybe talking it out, and then heading off and seeing what I can do in some Vengaversity style happenings would be a nice way to spend the next few decades.
And not everything needs to be a big world thing. Sometimes I'm going to go for some walks is a fine thing. It like
absolutely
doesn't all need to be big picture. Sometimes small pictures a pretty good place to be.
When did you get so wise, Wild?
I was always wise. It's just you all started to listen.
No, you just spent more time talking to me. Anyway, for Ooh. Now, let's put down the soapboxes and leave the big talk out. Who would like some tea?
I'd love some.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Do you know, Hamid, you should write to Etchy. He's quite into politics these days. I'm sure that you would have lots to talk about.
I will do that. Thank you, Azu. I'm sure I can find a place for him to exercise his ideas.
Okay, at that point, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to accelerate time a little bit.
Okay.
Just a smidge. I'm going to let the sort of conversation to have settled into more mundane things. And again, I think I'm in sort of nightcap territory now, where I'd say there's been a long proper catch up, like probably a full day. Let's say we were talking, you know, early afternoon. It's been running. It's not crazy late, but it is at the point of, you know, the embers are on the fire and it's coming down to bedtime. And it's
has Azu fallen asleep in her chair?
Wild categorically has. So
I don't think Azu has.
Okay, fine. It's just yeah.
But yeah, I'd say yeah. Wild definitely asleep in his chair at this point. And I'd say it's the four of you at the end of the day with, I'd say Wild's definitely asleep in his chair and the embers are burning low. And you're at that point in the evening where, you know, you kind of have that look of like, do I put some more wood on the fire? No? Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'd say you're at that point now and it's definitely dark and it's very, very quiet outside and it's just gathered around the hearth, really.
So I'll be poking the embers with a poker to try and keep them going a little longer.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, right, well, one of us has fallen. What do people think about final drink?
I'll have one, but then I must. Oh, these days I can't stay up as late as I used to. It's hard to imagine. I used to fight through the night some days. Do you remember that time we were up for about 48 hours?
Which time?
Oh, God.
Oh, well, there's my point, but...
Was the last time the four of us were all sitting together late at night? Was that on that jetty back in Japan? Has it really been that long?
I think so.
It yeah. has.
Let's not do a midnight swim today, eh?
Yeah, not this time of year. We'd all freeze to death. But tell you what, though. Tomorrow, Wild and I were going to go on a boat trip. I don't know if anybody wants to join us.
Oh, yeah, That would be wonderful.
We're just going to go down the coast. There's a little cove that you can't really get to elsewise. Just it's a good sight. It's a good bit of coast, this.
I mean, the weather's going to be pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And that sounds lovely.
That sounds wonderful. I think I saw a lighthouse out there, and I'd love to see how that works. And
absolutely, yeah, sure.
And maybe in the afternoon or the evening when we're back, I can take a look at that boiler and work on that with you.
Please do. He won't stop going on about it.
Well, I think that sounds like a wonderful way to spend a day with my friends.
And on that, I think the firelight dies and we'll end the series there.
Well, it's a goodbye from me.
For the final time. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. It's been great.
Goodbye. Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license.
Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. Hello and welcome to
our exciting new podcast
The Adventures,
from Rusty Quill.
A new podcast from Rusty Quill.
Come on,
the just the alphabet, but as
last hurdle, fell in the right, mud. Let's try that again. With your stinky, muddy, poopy pants.
Right, let's try this again.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.